This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
You put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism? What part of socialism is not the other part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic. This is such an optimistic
healthcare.
Tom,
he gave us
Tom.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully, it's more. Here, hold on. You have to speak into the microphone.
I said it. Yes, was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, thank you for joining us here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, the latest on Ebola, the idea that so much humanitarian aid going to these countries, what are they doing to keep themselves safe, never mind the United States of America. And as we talk about here, and we'll have another poll for you at 580kido.com, do you trust the government when it comes to Ebola? That is something that we will talk about. Dave Petzl will be along to give you news about your money. What a volatile week it was in the stock market last week, and as you heard, just people going crazy over Ebola and what to do. I think the scary part about this is that the government still doesn't know. And if you heard over the weekend, they hired Ron Klain, who, if you've watched that HBO special concerning Bush v. Gore, was played by Kevin Spacey. Yes, that Kevin Spacey, where Mr. Klain was talking about being political and being hyper-political. This is the man that's going to bring America together to fight Ebola. That's something to consider. And by the way, most of our troops that are going there will not get, according to the Gateway Pundit here at 580KIDO, won't get full protection hazmat suits for the Ebola mission in West Africa. Wow. We'll talk more about that coming up. Joining us now is Dave Petzl. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Where's my coffee?
If you look at your phone, I texted you about that.
Oh, you did?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will look at my phone later.
All right. 580KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the markets.
Rough. Volatile.
Right.
It's no doubt. It makes people nervous, Kevin. No doubt it does. But, I always try to remind people that corrections are normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives.
Right.
And that's what we have, is a correction. The thing,
big corrections, though.
No, it's more volatile. We're not even down 10%, so it's not a bigger correction yet. It could be, obviously. We have a bad week in here. We'll get to that point. But right now, it's not. From a percentage perspective, it's not. It's the wild swings, I think, that trouble people or make them feel it's bigger than normal.
Well, I mean, again, but you hear about, they've lost. How much of the percentage of the market at its peak have we lost?
We're off, I think, 6%.
6%. So, again, whether it's the media or other people, I mean, people are concerned. And should they be?
Yeah. No, they shouldn't because, again, they're, it's normal corrections. The volatility, I believe, is what is really frightening. But I don't see anything more than, out there. I talked about this Saturday. Kevin, this isn't 2008, and I know that that's what people think markets do. I know they do. They may not say it, but we've gone through the two worst bear markets of any investor's life just in the last few years, right? We had the 2000 through 02 where the internet bubble burst. The average stock didn't go down much during that time, but 2008, that was the one that everybody, that will probably measure it for the rest of our lives, because that one took everything down. It took the good, the bad, the leverage, the non-leverage. It took all companies down significantly. It took bonds down. It was a really bad correction, but that was a 50% move down. That is very rare, and it just simply doesn't look like 2008 in the world right now. We don't have that much leverage out there.
Indeed. What about Ebola? How big of an impact is that having?
I think it's news. I don't think it's an impact on the market. I really don't. I'm going to agree with some of the folks out there but their job is to report something every day, something frightening every day. And so whether it's...
Wow.
Well, I'm not
aren't
saying you,
part,
you do
are,
that.
Aren't you part of the news media?
I'm afraid so. Yeah, I guess I am. But the answer is I don't have to make up stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't think it's a lack of news. I think it's a lack of financial news. There just isn't that much. But when they go out and talk about every little thing out there, that's because there isn't something to report every minute of every day.
Well, what's causing the correction, if you will?
I think the fact that we've gone up 300% in 5 years, it's time for a correction. And then you lay five things over the top of the market. You lay what's going on in Russia, that Europe is looking like it's heading into recession. They're moving towards austerity in Europe. Maybe they're not now, but that was the direction they were going. China is slowing down. And then we have mixed economic numbers here as well. But predominantly, I would say our biggest problem is we have no leader in Washington, D.C. So that has been this five-pronged put down where finally the market goes, okay, I give. It's enough. I just don't think Ebola is in that category.
We go to the phones, and our friend Gene is with us here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. How are you today, Kevin?
Great. It was great to see you at Chick-fil-A.
Well, great to see you. You know, the pear meets the bell pepper. How you think about that?
It was a match made in vegetable heaven.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Now, listen, I was listening to you this morning about these folks at the Hitchin Post and how they're going to either go to jail or be out of business, like the cake baker and the florist and everything else. You know, I'm real sick at my stomach about this, and I'm just wondering how long it's going to take people to wake up and say, enough. You know, these alternative lifestyle folks, they probably should have stayed in the closet. And I got a sneaking hunch that before long, they're going to wish they had stayed in the closet, because I don't know how much longer people are going to stand by and just say, you know, okay, we're going to bend over and take this, because, you know, this is America. And
it's a great verb there, bend over.
Yeah, yeah. That's a...
yeah.
No pun intended.
Really, yeah, literally. And on another point, the Ebola thing.
We're back
now,
to Ebola.
I know there's been
yes.
a lot of talk in the movies and stuff about this and that and the other. Back in the day, in the 70s, when I was in the military, I remember a company commander telling us one time that he said, you know, time's going to come, fellas, when the art of war is going to be won by bugs, not bullets and bombs. Bugs don't kill buildings. Bullets and bombs kill buildings. You know, case in point, Agent Orange was designed to kill the foliage so we could root out the enemy, but what it wound up doing was killing the enemy and leaving the foliage alone. Believe me, I was there when that was dropped, and it was no fun. So it's gonna be bugs and super bugs and this, that, and the other that is going to actually take out, you know, some of the enemy, but in the process it's going to take out some of the populace too. There's going to be more collateral damage, really, I think, than there's going to be combatant damage. And I'm really fearful for this, because, you know, everybody says, well, Texas breathes a sigh of relief, Africa breathes a sigh of relief, but have you heard the old saying, the calm before the storm?
Well, yeah, let me get to Dave Petzl on that, Gene.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Have a great one.
You too. You know, Gene brings up some terrific points here at 580KIDO, that do we really know if we're out of the woods on Ebola? And this could impact travel. It could impact entertainment. It could even impact, the gym industry, because no one's going to want to go to a gym if, you know, there's sweat there on the the exercise cycle.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Kevin, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You ask if it was a market, it was the reason the market went down. No, I don't think it is, because it's not a problem at this point. Could it be? Of course. And that's why I think they're throwing everything they can at it. And whether we are going to see an impact or have already seen an impact on travel, I think that's pretty clear. If this doesn't start clearing up, or if we have more outbreak, why would people risk it? It just doesn't make any sense that they would take a risk. Let's just wait for a few months, and so people will start deferring their vacations.
I don't think the government knows what they're doing.
They don't.
Yeah.
Will they learn quick enough? I believe so. But I think your point is well taken. They don't know what they're doing.
Right. I mean, the idea that everybody's safe after 21 days, well, who says? You have the World Health Organization saying it's 54 days. Someone else says it's 30 days.
That's right.
I mean, we're talking about lives, and let's go to the airlines. I mean, is there liability? We've talked about this at 580KIDO, that, you know, you had the nurse with Ebola on, she was clear to go, and that plane went four or five more places. You travel a lot. You know those aren't really the healthiest places to hang out in to begin with.
No. If you want to get sick, go ahead and get on an airplane for a while. That'll certainly, you'll get plenty of germs. It isn't the most obviously it's not. They have no time to clean it during, you know, over between flights.
And it's overbooked and people have germs and everything else.
And Nobody cares about their fellow human beings. We know that. And so you do have a circumstance where this is not clean. And so it easily could spread. And that's what SARS did. It spread very easily. But Ebola is more difficult to catch. And so that's a benefit. But, Kevin, we haven't even talked yet about the fact that it is clearly a disease that mutates fairly easy, fairly quickly. That's what the doctors are saying. That's what they're studying now. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So it's they're chasing something that's moving.
But you see, you bring up a good point. You're saying the doctors are saying that it's easily to get it, and then everybody, whoa, no panic here. And there doesn't seem to be a consistent message. And then we have the troops going over there with no hazmat suits.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit under-supplied, would you say?
I would say that would be the best place to buy, and of course now the prep market going crazy.
It is. That's the hot stock, right, is the hazmat suit companies.
Exactly, for either recreational things for Halloween or for the real thing. Locally, what's going on in the business community?
Well, Micron continues to it got beat down pretty big. What was it like? Not last week, but the week before, it was down some 16% just for the week. That's a big drop for a company that just the week prior had announced blockbuster earnings, and the stock flew. So there's a lot of volatility in that sector. I just think it needs to settle back down like the rest of the market. But Micron is doing very, very well, continuing to hire. And as far as I can see around town, Kevin, and hear from business people, business is good. It's getting better.
Seems to be good for a certain segment, but still, and we've talked about this for over the 5 years that we've been together, there's no correlation to getting decent jobs, though, anywhere.
No, it's very difficult to get a decent job. Unless you're an engineer, you can get a job at Micron. But HP continues to lay people off. It is very difficult out there. There's no question for those better jobs. But the business conditions, the underlying economy, things are getting better here. There's a lot of building, as we see, going on. But beyond that, businesses are much more confident that people are going to show up. And let's face it, with interest rates this low, if you didn't refinance before, you got another shot at it. 30-year drop below 4% again this past week. So you have a chance to get a mortgage for below 4%. And also with gas prices coming down, people are getting a cut. Maybe we will see some retail pickup.
And right into the retail season, more coming up with Dave Pezzo. It is 718, 580KIDO, time for traffic. Good morning, Dave.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
45 in Caldwell at 580KIDO, 723. Dave Pezzo with us, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Let's talk a little bit about the state of Idaho. We've got this big election coming up. We have people charging that we need more jobs here. How are we doing as far as the state goes? What are your thoughts as far as the economy and this election? Does it really make a difference who's running the state government?
I think to a degree it sets a tone for how pro-business or maybe not so pro-business, more pro-labor, if you will. So it sets a tone. We've seen real growth in the country, for example, at the right-to-work states, right? I mean, they're significantly ahead of the not right for work. What do you say? The pro union? I don't know what to say about that, but the not right
collective
for work.
Bargaining.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so there are differences. It's a tone that is set from the top, and I liken it to a football team to any good business. Look, any good business does not run day-to-day operations because it all runs through the CEO or the governor's office or what have you. But the tone is set, and both the blame as well as the praise should go to the people at the top because they are setting a tone and a message all the way through the system.
So back to our question, so you think that does make a difference? We've had charges of We don't have enough good jobs here, although more people are moving here. And I've talked to a lot of people in the building industry. In fact, we had several who joined us at our anniversary party, if you will, saying we're building all these homes, and yet no one can afford to live in them mm-hmm. except the people that have cashed out from California. Are you seeing that?
No, I think that's overly simplistic, but, you know, on the other hand, though,
but where are the jobs to support these elaborate structures?
Again, Micron's hiring. There's some of that, and a lot of people we're seeing startup businesses
as
well.
Seven jobs just to pay for.
They are, and Kevin, that's not different. You and I both work right. 2 and 3 jobs too. You know, it's the way you get started, then you get rolling, and then hopefully someday you generate your own business. But anyway, people are moving here. Just yesterday, I played golf with a couple that had discovered Boise, and that was so what brought you here? Family? No. My wife visited here one time, and I can work off of a computer. And so he's a recruiter. He's a national recruiter for a healthcare company, and he just can do it from anywhere. They chose Boise, Idaho, like many people have. And that's one of the reasons we're booming here.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we are losing people. Young people can't find jobs. And you and I have talked about this. You go to the Village at Meridian, hey, that's great. It's upscale. Where do you get the bread and butter things? I mean, look, right now, if you're working construction, life is good.
Mm-hmm.
But if that construction doesn't continue, we've seen an incredible amount of building here.
Right.
You know, where do we sustain this economy?
Well, you have a good point, but it's not just here. It's systemic everywhere. I mean, if you're in California, you say, well, where are the good jobs? Well, there's people they're in Silicon Valley. Well, how many people get to have those jobs? 0.1% of the smartest people out of the colleges get a chance to have an interview at one of those places.
Right.
Right? So nobody else does. And I promise you that the best and brightest kids that come out of our institutions here, they're working. Everybody's dogging them to come to work for them, too. It's the same thing, Kevin, everywhere. It's not Idaho's issue.
Right. You want to remind everybody, the city getaway is San Francisco, and Sean Hannity will be your second chance today. So go to our loyalty program at 580kido.com. You can win tickets to anywhere. If you were going anywhere, where would you go?
Where would I go for?
Just a getaway, yeah.
You know what's a good getaway?
You're always leaving. You're.
I've never been to Tahiti. I got to try Tahiti sometime. If you're talking about a real getaway, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the continental United States.
Continental United States. Well, this time of year, I got to stay right at home. This is just absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
This is where I want to be.
You're such a panderer. You're such a panderer. 728 at 580KIDO. Back to, what we were talking about, jobs and such. So for people that, you know, are dealing with student loans,
mm-hmm.
as we, you know, this is going to continue to be a problem. And it's gone underreported a lot of places. You have people in their 60s still dealing with student loans.
Yeah, it is a problem, and it's a huge problem. It's not one really for us to address other than saying we have to minimize it. I don't believe that the government should be involved. It'll become a train wreck like every government program does. So the idea that the government is going to somehow fix the student loan, let's just quit allowing students to get $200,000 and $300,000 in debt by the time they come out. It is a problem, but we have got to get people a cheaper path to an education. If you don't have that kind of money, fine, then you don't. I'm just impressed as heck of some of the changes. I think within 5-10 years, you can get a college degree for very little online. There's so many online programs now, and the price is coming down, and we also have all of these community colleges popping up like Western Idaho.
College of Western Idaho, indeed, but you know, you still wonder long term where the gig's going to come from.
And
getting that ROI on investment. You have a lot of people that, look, I love the arts. I think they're great.
Yeah.
And they get these elaborate degrees, but they can't get the ROI on them.
No, you can't. And I think it's a good point. There's nothing wrong with getting a liberal arts degree, but then you have to have a practical degree with it. You know, a minor or something, you know, whatever, or minor in that, but major in business and finance and things that actually have some use in the world to make money.
Right.
You're right. You have to have a practical application.
What should we be looking out for this week?
More volatility, I'm afraid. It's not quite done yet. I hope it's done. I'd love to see it done.
Right.
I'd love to think that Wednesday at the opening was the drop, you know, when it went down 460 points, that was the low. And it might be. It really might be. We don't know where it is, and I know people have proclaimed that. There's more, or people are just as certain that that's the bottom. I don't know what it is, but right now, just watch the earnings numbers. We've got like 25% of the S&P 500 is reporting this week alone. IBM had a huge miss this morning, gigantic miss. That accounts for all the Dow points down this morning. So again, hopefully some stabilization with some decent earnings reports. Hopefully everybody doesn't report like IBM did.
Our great friend Dave Petzo with us. You're listening. By the way, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah,
always a pleasure. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
The nation is about.
This is my right.
For a city government to step into the churches and ask pastors to turn in their sermons and all their speeches, it's gone too far. And if they want to know what we preach, what we say, we do our live streaming services. We preach the Bible. We teach the Bible.
Talking about.
Must Hear Radio every morning with Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Dr. Troy Roan with us from Boise State University. Dr. Roan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. It's nice to be here today.
You know, you were talking earlier, you're one of the first folks that was hired specifically by Boise State to do research back in the day, huh?
Yes, that's right. Way back in 2000, when there was a change in emphasis to try to hire more faculty that actually do research. In fact, I had no teaching experience when I was first hired at Boise State, but I had an active research program in Alzheimer's disease, and so that was the direction they went.
Well, a lot of people, you know, equate Boise State with sports. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes on as far as it being a research facility?
Well, I would say 50% of my job is research, and that involves obtaining, you know, funding, extramural funding from, right now I'm funded by NIH, and it's a big part of my job. I mentor graduate students, undergraduate students, and the goal is to, you know, publish papers and contribute to our area of expertise.
And what would that be?
Well, my main emphasis is Alzheimer's disease, but I look at other neurodegenerative diseases as well, like Parkinson's, and there's a number of them.
Any great breakthroughs going on in Alzheimer's? We just had the big Alzheimer's walk here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Parkinson's as well. People, you know, that we fear all diseases that we can't control, but these seem to be in particular that have the public concerned.
Yeah, well, I think there's good reason for that. You know, especially in Idaho, we're going to see a large increase in the number of cases. I would say right now there's over 60 clinical trials that are ongoing. Pretty much know what we need to do. It's a matter of getting the drugs to work properly. So I'm fairly optimistic about the future, but with science, you never know until you run the clinical trials.
Sure. And of course, you have your control groups and everything else. For those of us that, you know, remember reading about clinical trials and everything else, what really goes into that would help us determine a cure or a treatment for Alzheimer's? What's being done across the country?
Well, I think the main thing is looking at drugs that are what we call disease modifying, mm-hmm. that are actually going to have an impact on the disease, not just treat the symptoms. And I think that you really don't know what kind of drug you have until you test them in large clinical trials that are placebo controlled, and that's really what's going on right now. So, but that's not why I'm here today, Kevin.
Oh well. Far from me from asking questions. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a new rule that the Board of Pharmacy is voting on this Thursday that involves a group of compounds called biologics. And it's a very important rule, I think, in terms of safety for patients that most people aren't even aware of. And so I'm hoping that we could spend a minute talking about that today. Well, biologics are...
That sounds intimidating, even the word.
The word is, and the other word
is... You seem like a friendly guy, but that's an intimidating word for all of us. You know, going and getting treated is intimidating itself, so what's going on?
Well, biologics are really a new class of compounds that are... They're not the same kind of medicines that your dad was taking, let's put it that way. They tend to be much bigger, much complex. And many of these, for example, human growth hormone is an example. They tend to be very large molecules, very complex, and they're made in living cells. And many of these are going off patent. And so there's a number of companies that are going to make what they call equivalent generic, but they're not generic because you can never completely replicate these molecules, and so that's why they're called biosimilars. And the issue is that because you can't exactly replicate these drugs, that they may have different efficacies or side effects or tolerabilities in patients. And,
sure.
So the rule that the Board of Pharmacy is voting on is that it will currently, in its current language, it would allow a pharmacist to substitute a biologic for a biosimilar without notifying the physician. And I think what we need to do is to make sure, like other states have, that when pharmacists do make a substitution for these new biosimilar compounds, that they contact the physician so that the physician can keep abreast of what's going on with their patients in case something happens adversely.
Why would a pharmacist do this without contacting a physician?
Well, I really don't see any good reason why they wouldn't.
But it does go on.
Well, there are certain laws in states that pharmacists are supposed to automatically substitute a generic form of a drug for economic reasons. But I think here, you know, this is really a safety issue because these drugs are not, will never be identical to the brand name drug. And so the physician needs to know what's going on with the patient. And, you know, eight states have passed legislation. This is a new area. We're trying to get ahead of the curve here. Seven of those eight states require that the pharmacist contact the physician. And I just think it's a good idea.
And, well, what can we do?
Well, you can contact the board will be voting this Thursday. And you can contact the Board of Pharmacy at 334-2356 and let them know that, you know, in terms of patient safety, that they need to close this loophole.
Well, one more time with the number.
The number again, this is for the Board of Pharmacy, 334-2356. And I really appreciate you, Kevin, letting me come here today and spend a few moments with you.
Well, thank you. You know, we need to learn about these things and hopefully we can protect some people, and we appreciate your great job. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and invite me back. We'll talk more about Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, Dr. Roan with us. It is 7:45, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Two things going on. We've got this issue in Coeur d'Alene that is getting a lot of attention. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, we're, 15 days away from the election. Ads going up on the airwaves everywhere, considering CCA. Now, those of you that have been in the state for 3 or 4 years, those of you that have people that have been incarcerated, you know, you tell me at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, do you believe that there was some type of conspiracy? Heck, I think NBC News, didn't NBC News do a special on it? And if you're not familiar with it, basically we had Fight Club Gladiator School at state prisons, run by the Corrections Corporations of America. The governor kicked them out. There was a settlement, only $1 million. Only $1 million when you see the videos on television with the people beating up each other and all sorts of things. How big of an issue is that? You know, again, as this election draws nearer, you will decide. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. When I personally see this, now again, I'm all about accountability. I'm all about holding folks accountable. Somebody should. Now we hear that there's an FBI investigation looming. But what gets me the most is the timing of this. If this was such a big issue, you know, where was the announcement of this investigation last year or 2 years ago? You're telling me it takes 2 years for the FBI to ramp up? 580-5436, let's get you to work. At 580-KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:52, Kevin Miller in the morning, talking about the CCA controversy. We go to Ontario and David. Good morning, you're on 580-KIDO.
Well, hi there. I just happened to be fishing through the radio and heard your radio station. But one of the things that the media keeps missing on this whole CCA thing, and that prison over there where this took place is a minimum security prison in Idaho. I spent 8 years on the yard or more, And I'll tell you what goes on there is nothing compared to what goes on over in the playground over there at CCA.
Well, like what?
Well, I mean, there's fights every day, and there's people that die there. You know, that's one of the things that I'm appalled that the media is always missing, is that this CCA prison over there is a minimum security prison.
Right, and you're saying that people are dying there?
No, I'm saying that, yeah, I've seen people die on the yard. And I imagine there's probably people that die out at CCA too. But anyway, that's about all I got to say. It's amazing that everybody keeps missing that CCA is a minimum security prison. And that's pretty much all I got to say.
All right. Thank you for that insightful report. 753 at 580 KIDO. David's pointed how little we do know about this. And really, as we roll on this beautiful Monday, as chilly as it may be, who are we to blame? Are we the checkout Charlies? I mean, the FBI is investigating. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything done wrong there. It just means that the FBI is investigating. Of course, I've gotten letters from the prisoners and everything else. But, I mean, really, what would bring about significant change? Now, legal experts have told me, both on and off the air, that they expect someone to go to jail. But from a political nature, does this influence the vote? We see these ads and everything else. I think that's the big question. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, number one. And number two, you know, I believe this is the October surprise. President Bush has had a few of those. Now we see this happening to Governor Otter. And the idea that people are concerned about it. I would hope that people are concerned about it. I would hope that people check to see the facts behind these issues and not take my word for it or the television people's word for it or anyone else's word for it. But, you know, again, I question the timing of it. It seems very convenient, if you will. Very convenient indeed. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We also have the story in Coeur d'Alene of the Hitching Post Chapel, where it has been declared that two ordained ministers must perform a same-sex marriage or they could face prison. They could face $1,000 in fines daily for their refusal to do this. And this is Donald and Evelyn Knapp, owners of the Hitching Post Chapel in Coeur d'Alene. They're represented by one of these defense groups. They've now filed a federal lawsuit and are seeking a restraining order that would prevent local officials from forcing them to marry same-sex couples after claiming that they had been threatened with fines and possible jail time over their refusal. Now, if you're a same-sex person, why in the world would you want to go somewhere where you're not wanted? Why would you want to go to a service that doesn't believe in your union? Unless you're trying to convert them forcibly by using the means of the government. Isn't that really what this is about? The government, not the people, have decided. The tyranny of the judiciary in the state of Idaho has decided. The 11th Circuit has decided. The Supreme Court has decided when it comes to secular unions. And as I said before, and I hope that I'm wrong about this, now we are going to see churches. First, it will start with chapels. And then it will move on to, non-denominational things. And then it will be an attack on the churches themselves. And how it will work, you want to keep your tax-free status? Then you will perform same-sex marriages or we will shut you down. You don't think that that's possible after what we've seen in the last how many years? Now, again, here you have this couple in Coeur d'Alene. They're just kind of doing their own thing. You had somebody come up and ask them about, hey, how about a same-sex ceremony? They said no, and then people decided to get the city on them. Now, this is ridiculous as if you're requiring a service. When you buy something, why would you want to go somewhere where people don't value what you do, that will not give you the most excellent service? Unless there's more to it, and that's what we're seeing across the country. Now, you go back to Christianity, you go back to Christian ministers, and they are against this. Are they going to say all of a sudden here at 580-5436 that the New Testament was wrong, the Old Testament was wrong, that religion for over 2,000 years has been wrong, and we've got it right here, so let's marry all up or else. That's the danger here. That is the danger that we are seeing. And quite frankly, that it's happening in Idaho shows you that can happen anywhere else, right? Let's get you to traffic now at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning, 45 in Nampa. Let's see if we can get Ben in now. Ben, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO.
Good morning. Just hearing you talking about the couple up in Coeur d'Alene who's been threatened with fines and jail time. And it's my perspective that this has been the intent of the gay marriage movement from the beginning. It's an anti-Christian movement, and they're looking for ways to eliminate people who disagree with their lifestyle.
And we're seeing it. Ben, great call. Thank you for that. Fox News is next. Stay tuned. Keep informed. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.